again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, coming to you from a gloomy but warming up Vancouver winter, and have the pleasure of speaking with a colleague from the United Kingdom, who I understand is having quite the opposite weather. It's a sunny day, but a bit cool there. She is sitting in Newcastle-under-Lyme. Her name is Janet Lefroy, and she is a senior lecturer in medical education at Keele University and the medical school lead for consultation skills teaching. Thanks, Janet, for making the time to chat with me today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to it, because this is a topic of great interest to me as well in my own research program, and I should perhaps start by letting the listeners know that we're going to discuss a paper you have coming out in the March issue of Medical Education 2015, entitled Grades and Formative Workplace-Based Assessment, A Study of What Works for Whom and Why. And the core issue, I think, that many of us around the world are grappling with is, what, if anything, is the value of grades? And should we be delivering them, or do they harm the interaction that we're trying to have with students in terms of creating some barrier to their learning? So maybe I can just ask you to start by explaining the context to our listeners and helping them understand the workplace-based assessment world from which you approach this problem.
So at Keele, we have a workplace-based assessment program starting in the third year with our undergraduate medical students. And we had introduced an instrument that we use again in the fourth year and again in the fifth year, which we initially started giving grades by exit standards. So were the students competent enough in their consultation skills to be graduating as doctors. So they'd be graded in the third year against that same standard, and the idea was they could see some progression towards exit standard. So we were wondering, having read the background literature around how grades can possibly detract from feedback and maybe even be harmful, damaging to self-efficacy and that sort of thing, we were wondering whether this was a good idea to give our students these grades, and we thought we could do a study where we gave them grades with one of their workplace-based assessments and no grades, but just the feedback plus or minus grades, basically, in two assessments. And then we allowed them to choose for their third assessment whether they would like grades or not. And we could then use them really as co-researchers almost with us to tell us what the grades did to them when they had them or didn't have them, and why they chose what they chose for their third assessment.
Right. And just before we get into those details, can I ask you to expand a little bit on the notion that grades, in part of the literature at least, have the potential for being detrimental or detracting? You mentioned in your paper the self-regulatory folk, and you just mentioned self-efficacy. What is the dilemma that people have been grappling with in this regard?
So the dilemma is that grades seem to take the focus maybe away from the task and towards the self sometimes, so that students will be comparing themselves with peers or not really looking at what they can do to improve, but just feeling that the grade has locked them into a position. Mm-hmm. And possibly the receiving of grades can put people into that prevention approach where they're trying to avoid harm and maybe to just prove what they can do rather than seeking to improve.
Right, and this sounds like a particularly challenging situation for some of these presumably very high achieving students who are now being graded against something that really they're 2 years away from achieving. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's right. And in our particular instrument, they could potentially have 9 grades for each domain of the consultation if their tutor felt they could grade them in each of 9 potential domains. And it was quite likely, and in fact, 80% of the students did get borderline or must improve, which must improve is the fail grade.
Right, right.
And borderline, that's not quite sure whether you're good enough to be a doctor or not in that particular domain of the consultation. So 80% of them were getting at least one of their grades in that sort of range. So they certainly experienced potentially demotivating effect or, you know, the effect on the self-efficacy of being given one of those grades.
Right. And with these particular students, had this been an area where they were complaining about this particular issue, or was it really driven by the literature that you chose to study the influence of giving or withholding grades?
It was largely a discussion we had after reading the Kluger and Van Dyck's paper in 2010 issue of Medical Education. So it took us quite a long time to design this study. A couple of years later, we actually were able to do our own study. So that was on feedback, the various tasks of the doctor and the feed forward alternative, where they talked about the positive and negative effects of feedback. The positive feedback sign and the negative feedback sign. We had the feeling that students were reacting differently from each other to grading. I think when we set out with this study, we thought we might end up deciding to drop grading if it really was not giving students beneficial effects. But we had the impression that our students wanted grades. And I suppose my feeling was that people don't usually want something if it isn't good for them in some way. And maybe there was some good in it that we were not perceiving. And then the other idea that we were having was that a lot of the studies that have been done on feedback have been done in school children and in non-medical higher education. And is it the case that because we have an outcomes-based system where you have to be competent in order to be a doctor, and maybe that prevention focus is an important part of that, that people need to be afraid of failing because you don't want to harm your patient. So maybe actually in medicine it's a little bit different from in other higher education, that it's good for you to get realistically planted grades. And also, we're always talking about the importance of knowing your own limits of competence. And also, we're talking about the fact that people are rather poor at self-assessment. But that doesn't mean we don't try to train people to be better at self-assessment. And maybe grades are a part of that, that if you trust your assessor, they're an external locus of opinion about you, and they give you a grade that wasn't maybe quite what you were thinking yourself, or it was what you were thinking yourself, that helps train the student to self-assess better than they were. Mm-hmm. So those were the sort of reasons we had for thinking that maybe this study might come out with a different outcome from the previous literature.
Right. And I think you've largely alluded to what the outcome was, so maybe we should officially remove the suspense from any listeners who are sitting on the edge of their seat. And so you had, just as a reminder, you had these two assessments. One was given with grades, one without, and it was a crossover in terms of the order for the individual participants. And then they chose on the third assessment whether or not they would want grades. And so what did they tell you?
Well, of those who consented to be randomized to having one with and one without, just about 8 out of 10 chose grades, and 2 out of 10 chose not to have grades. And then we did have another bunch of students who wanted their grades so much that they weren't willing to have even one without grades. And so they also were interviewed, as there was a sort of qualitative part of the study as well as the quantitative of what they wanted. So we interviewed some of the students who really, really wanted grades and had them all the way through.
So very strong preference on average. Was there any indication as to if they were the poorer performers that didn't want the grades, or was there something else that was unique about that group?
We did look at the characteristics of the students, and there was no real effect of gender or whether they'd had a poor grade in their first assessment. That didn't seem to particularly influence one way or the other. What did influence was whether they'd passed or failed their recent OSCE assessment, which for some of the students is just 3 weeks before this experience. And it was just a few students we were talking about who failed the OSCE and were in this study, and they all decided they wanted grades. And likewise, there were just a few students who only just passed the assessment, the OSCE, and they were a little bit more likely to not want grades. But of the ones who had a clear pass in the OSCE or did very well in the OSCE, there didn't seem to be any effect of that on whether they wanted grades or not. So it's just around that sort of pass-fail divide in the OSCE.
I know that you have a lot of information in this paper exploring the participants' reasoning, and we won't have a lot of time to get into all the details, but can you give us a couple of the highlights in terms of the logic that the students were using in terms of whether they chose grades or not?
Yeah, so we asked them in two ways. One was at the time they were making their choice, we asked them just to fill in a text box on the choice questionnaire to say why they were choosing it. And then afterwards, we interviewed a selection of them. We tried to select students who'd chosen both ways and who were high performing and low performing, and male and female. And we used a realist approach to analysis. So we were looking at really, what meaning did they construct out of their feedback with and without grades? And how did the context affect the mechanisms by which the meaning was constructed and what outcomes resulted? And I don't know if that's a very good explanation of realist evaluation, but you have to read the paper to understand a bit more about that. So, yeah, what did they give as their reasons? The ones who chose grades were very clear that grades would help them to locate themselves against an external standard. And they also wanted to calibrate their opinion of themselves. So I think that that was the main function, to locate themselves, to calibrate their own opinion, and also to chart progression. They thought that was important. Some of them sought grades for motivational reasons. They wanted to feel self-efficacy, that they were competent, or maybe to motivate themselves because they were expecting possibly to get some low grades, to motivate themselves to actually improve and to target their efforts at the areas in which they scored the lowest. So that was the sort of reasons they gave.
Right, thank you. And so just to wrap up, let me ask you to reflect or speculate on where this might be leading. You got a very clear result from your participants in terms of the dominant view being desire for grades. Does this end the issue for you, or are there other things you think you need to explore before you could come to a satisfactory resolution?
Well, we felt really we don't want to ignore the significant minority who didn't want grades. You know, that was 1 in 5 who didn't want grades, and they had their own reasons for that. And the outcome that we have implemented is that we actually do give the students a choice now of whether they have grades or not. And our recommendation is that maybe assessors should explore whether students are going to welcome grades with feedback and why. And if it seems as if they're wanting them for good reasons, that's fine. If it seems they're not wanting them, that should also be explored. And maybe the students can be helped to sort of construct useful meaning out of their feedback. And they should not be forced to have grades if they don't want them, because they are quite powerful, blunt instruments, we felt. One thing that we're very interested to know is whether this finding that we've made transfers to other contexts. So let's say in more senior students or even in a postgraduate context. So we'd be really interested to see, you know, whether other people could use this same sort of study design and what outcomes they get. I suppose our next step really is to say, well, it's all very well to see what meaning the students construct, but what outcome, what effect on their performance does having grades have? So we'd like to be able to design a good study where you discover whether grades actually improve performance or help students to improve their performance.
It sounds like you have a great opportunity to do that, and I'll very much look forward to it. The idea that students want or know what's good for them is certainly appealing, but it does seem like it's still an open question as to whether or not they're able to respond and use the grades in line with what they perceive as being their value.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds great, and I will have to reference our listeners to the paper, as usual, for more of the details, because, as I said, there's much more in it than we could possibly discuss in a brief podcast. And so to do that, I'll remind everyone that the title of the paper we've been discussing is Grades in Formative Workplace-Based Assessment, A Study of What Works for Whom and Why. And I've been chatting with the first author of that paper, Janet Lefroy, who's Senior Lecturer in Medical Education at Keele University. Thanks again, Janet. I'll look forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you very much.